I want to say thank you again to the audience for paying attention a little bit. First, what I want to do also is say thank you to some of our supporters, our member universities, of course, and our affiliate members. We have a table outside, if you haven't noticed yet. And on that table, we have some handouts. One is for the ISPCS, which is the New Mexico State University's International Symposium on Personal and Commercial Spaceflight, run by Pat Hines, Dr. Pat Hines, out at New Mexico State University. So you might want to pick up one of these. It's the premier suborb or personal spaceflight conference that you could attend. So if you really want to get up to speed what's going on, that would be a great one to see. Also, I want to push Embry-Riddle's BS in the Commercial Space Operations Program that was announced 1 year ago, practically to the day, here at this conference. And so if you haven't met Diane Howard yet, I would mention her. I would spend some time talking to her because she's always a lot of fun. Also, I would mention that just yesterday we received 300 copies of the Year 3 Annual Report Executive Summary for our COECST, Center of Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation. So I'd encourage you to pick that up. All the content that you're going to hear today and all the content that you see in the banners is included in this one tiny brochure, and it'll provide you hours and hours and hours of entertainment. So I would encourage you to take that along. My name is Ken Davidian, and I work at the FAA Office of Commercial Space Transportation, and I always like to start off these presentations with what you've probably heard a million times already over the last day and a half, that the Office of Commercial Space Transportation has two main mission goals. The first is basically to ensure the safety of the uninvolved public and also the interests of the United States, but also to encourage, facilitate, and promote a safe and successful commercial space transportation industry. So these are the two goals that are behind everything we do at AST, and the activities in research and the activities in the Center of Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation are no exception. So, first of all, what is a COE? And just in general, Centers of Excellence were created by an act of law back in 1990 to create a 10-year partnership of academia, industry, and government, create a consortium of researchers, bringing academia into the fold, with three main goals, primarily research, but also training and outreach. So it's not entirely about the research, even though the research is very important, but the actual training of a specialized and advanced skilled workforce is also a major aspect of what we're trying to do. And by doing that, we actually improve national competitiveness in general sense. So this was an openly competed process, as all centers of excellence are. It was selected by the FAA administrator at the time, and it was created then formally in August 2010. And because of its 10-year lifetime, it'll go till August 2020. One of the unique aspects of all centers of excellence is that for every federal dollar that gets input to one of the universities to conduct research, that dollar has to be matched either with cash or in kind by the university. So we're actually doubling the amount of money. We're leveraging the value of the taxpayer's dollar in the research that's being conducted. So that's pretty darn good when the ratio of benefit of a taxpayer's dollar is greater than one. So our Center of Excellence is very broad in scope. We cover four major research areas, and this is everything we could think of when it came to research topics. So as you can tell, I really like bright colors. And so starting with the red research area on the upper left, this focuses on research that deals with the traffic management system, both on orbit, both suborbitally, as well as the integration between the space operations and the air operations. It also deals with operations on the ground for spaceports. So everything dealing with the traffic management system is under our red or research area or space research area number one. Research area number two, which is the blue research area, deals with technologies for safety that are vehicle-centric. So we're talking about analyses, operations, systems, and subsystems, everything dealing with vehicle safety, including payload safety as well. Research area three is human-centric. All the research that is involved with safety surrounding the human in the commercial space world. So some of these things are very typical: aerospace physiology, personnel and training, habitability, human rating. These are areas that focus on the human. Now, research areas one, two, and three all work toward the ensuring public safety goal of the AST mission. Research area four actually is the only one we have that focuses on the encourage, facilitate, and promote goal, and that's what we call the industry viability goal. Focuses on markets, policy, law, regulation, and other cross-cutting topics. So all in all, the first three research areas focus on safety. The last one focuses on industry viability. And I'll talk a little bit later about how research done in the commercial space world varies a little bit different than research done by NASA or the military in their space worlds. So all these research areas are basically detailed in a document that we call the Research Roadmap Report. And it's available on the web, and I'll give you the URL later, or you can get it off the website, off the COE website. But basically, that was generated about 2 years ago. So I think this year, and I can't, you know, not promising anything, but I, as of this morning, I'm thinking this year we're probably going to work at updating that because it's about time. We need to go into a little bit more detail and a little bit more clarity and update the priorities of that document. So that's coming out. But that's basically the overall in these four research areas. So we have 9 member universities in the Center of Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation. Let me go from Florida to California this time. Starting southernmost, I think, is it UCF is probably the southernmost? And then FIT, and then U of F, and then FSU. I'm totally wrong. Is it FIT first? And then UCF, and then U of F, and then FSU. And then moving to the west, I'm guessing that the next one is Houston. I'm looking at it right here. I can't lie. Okay, so the next one is UTMB. I was trying to do without looking. Then we've got University of Colorado. And then we've got 2 universities in New Mexico, New Mexico State University and New Mexico Tech. And then we have all the way on the left coast, Stanford University. But you're going to say, Ken, I see more than just those universities there. That's because those are the member universities. We also have a different category of membership called affiliate members. So now affiliate members can be universities or private sector firms. These are organizations that are conducting internal research that deals with a topic that's related to commercial space that fits within one of those 4 research areas we talked about before, and they're willing to publicize the results of their research at an open forum, for example, our annual technical meeting. So by doing a formal handshake with one of our 9 member universities, we welcome them in as affiliate members. We invite them to our technical meetings. We make sure that they can integrate with the community, that they can be one of the crowd. And the only difference is we have no money, and I'll get to that later. So we don't give them any money. So their participation is entirely voluntary. And what they get out of it is seeing what's being done, seeing how it reinforces their work, and becoming a member of the community, of course. The value of a network grows and grows the larger and larger the network grows. So right now we're up to, last year we had 1 university, and that was McGill University in Montreal, Canada. That was our affiliate member. This year we added 5 more, and that includes Baylor College of Medicine, and they signed an agreement with UTMB, University of Texas Medical Branch. Also, NASTAR Center, which is a private company in Philadelphia that does centrifuge testing, they signed an MOA, a memorandum of agreement with UTMB as well. Then also, New Mexico State University signed agreements with SatWest, a small company that is doing satellite communications for use of telemetry of suborbital flight and maybe even orbital flight. They signed an agreement with Embry-Riddle University. It's the eagle there. And I've been told this is the wrong logo. I shouldn't be showing the logo with all the feathers identified. It should be more graphic styled. And then finally, University of Nebraska-Lincoln. So Franz Vanderdonk, you saw him yesterday give a presentation. His organization there, dealing with space law, signed an MOA with NMSU, and they came on as an affiliate as well. So right now we have 6 affiliate members as well as our 9 member universities, so 15 total organizations. You'll note I've got 2 FAA logos here. One is the headquarters, which is kind of very close to where we are right now, and the other one is the FAA Tech Center. That's located in Egg Harbor Township, which is very close to Atlantic City, and it's the home of the Center of Excellence Program Director, Dr. Pat Watts, who's sitting in the audience right here, and she's helped me out quite a bit. So anyways, this is the current family. We want to expand it. And if you have interest in becoming an affiliate member, come and talk to me or talk to any one of our member university representatives, and they'll be more than happy to help you out there. But of course, it's not about the universities. It's about the people. So like I said, one of our goals is to do research. The other one is to develop a workforce. And so when you see the picture of all the students and see how enthusiastic they are, it really energizes me. I love going to college campuses and meeting the students. Selling the concept of doing research in commercial space is easy because commercial space is a sexy topic. And a lot of people are really excited about it. And so it's just warms my heart to see these students, even though these are year and a half old pictures. They're the most recent ones I have, and they show all the plaques that we gave to each of the schools. So we have a diverse group of students. You know, we can always improve our diversity, but we have a diverse group by gender, by race, by degree, and a good distribution by university. This year, I should mention that we've got about 55 students that are participating in some way, in whole or in part, with Center of Excellence program. So for a program that's, you know, fairly that's funded at a fairly moderate level, we're touching a lot of lives, and I think that's really, really good. I just updated this chart the other day, so I wanted to show that we have now on the order of 40 so sponsors that are participating. Again, at some level, either with cash contributions or with in-kind contributions, or they participate in our programs. So we're starting to get a nice spread of not only private sector organizations, but also government organizations and other research institutions that are contributing to the overall goal of increasing the knowledge base of commercial space. Let's see if I included. Okay, yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the fun research projects that's just concluding right now. Just because I think it's very recognizable to folks. Centrifuge testing is something that we all know that NASA did with their astronauts, but we just wrapped up a series of centrifuge tests that was done in collaboration between University of Texas Medical Branch and the NASTAR Center outside of Philadelphia in Southampton. NASTAR donated $1 million worth of centrifuge testing time. UTMB put together a program where they were looking for people that had specific disease states, and we're talking about back injury, asthma, diabetes, pulmonary problems, and hypertension. And they wanted to put them into a centrifuge and expose them to a suborbital flight, the G-loads that would be indicative of a suborbital flight, and test the responses. And so here you could see some of the images of people being wired up. Of course, there was a lot of data that was taken. They were spun around, and it's pretty incredible to watch this big machine go from, you know, standing still to rotating very quickly to simulate the launch. And then when they come out after they've been spun, they get exposed to like the drunk driving kind of tests to test balance and whatnot. So it was very, very exciting to watch these test subjects who thought they would never be able to go through this kind of testing because they had some disease state. In fact, they were chosen because they had that disease state. They were having the time of their lives. I was really bummed when our ethics lawyer told me that I personally couldn't go because, and in fact, nobody from AST could go into this for ethics reasons. But it looks like a ton of fun. One of the things I want to point out is that when you do research for the commercial space industry, it's a little different than when you do it for the civil space industry or military space. When we're doing it for commercial space, or let me back up. When you look at the lifespan of a human and you characterize it by the different life-giving fluids that they ingest, you go from a baby bottle to a Coke bottle to a beer bottle to an IV drip, right? NASA has tested all the people that in that beer bottle phase. The military and NASA are focusing on the beer bottle, whereas we're focusing on the Coke bottle to the IV drip. So even though the testing might be very similar to what NASA does, in fact, it isn't, because NASA doesn't test for suborbital flights, repeated 0 to 1 or 1G to 0G transitions, but even though it looks the same, it's very different in the scope of subjects that we're looking for. So it's that difference that being commercial kind of puts on the research that's being done. And in fact, this type of research has never been done before. The first set of subjects, I think it was 67 or so subjects went through, represented about 120 different disease states, and because some subjects had more than one disease state. And the paper demonstrating the results is going to be coming out. It's going to be published in some medical journal pretty soon. And this kind of test isn't, you know, this isn't it. It's got to be done over and over and over. Running 67 people through is not a great, you know, number of people. We need to do this more and more. So again, many, many thanks to NASTAR Center for giving us use of the Phoenix centrifuge, and UTMB has just been done a great job. I'll point out that Jim Vanderplo here is the chief medical officer for Virgin Galactic. So, you know, we've got people that are in the right position of the industry conducting the research. So they know what the industry needs, and they're doing the rigorous research that needs to be conducted. I'll also mention that once a year, we have annual technical meetings. They tend to be in November, which is actually not that bad in terms of weather here in Washington, D.C. This year it was in Washington, and you recognize some of the banners right there. We had prominent speakers, and a good time was had by all, kind of thing. All the students, every single research task, a student or a professor comes up, and for 15 minutes they get to tell about their task, and we go through each of the research areas. We have prominent speakers. Having the meeting in D.C. allows us to bring folks from the Hill in, bring staffers in, and so also it allows a lot of the folks from the Office of Commercial Space Transportation who work down the street to come and see what's going on, because it's very expensive to fly the entire office to where this meeting might be held. So by having it in DC, a lot of the AST folks were able to come and to meet their PIs that they've been working with, or meet the students that are actually doing the research. This is the summary year at a glance kind of chart that I like to put out. Everybody loves metrics, and here are some basic ones: number of tasks, number of principal investigators, number of students, reports, research partners, industry partners, and affiliate members. I'll point out a couple things. Number one, I put an asterisk by this 43. In the book, outside it says 44. And that's because I just noticed after I published it, of course. I was under a deadline and it slipped through the proofreading stage. I listed one industry partner twice. So SpaceWorks Enterprises, good for you. You're listed twice in the book, but my metrics are all off by one. Not a big deal. Also, I'll point out that our funding profile here, let me back up. We're very, very happy and, you know, thank the Congress profusely for giving us $1 million in the RE&D budget. You've heard about it more than once over the past year, so it's not a past day. It's not a secret. We got $1 million in the RE&D budget. I would just point out the profile of the funding. So, having said that, I would say to wrap it up, if you want more information, you could go online. If you want more information about commercial space, the industry today, we put out this compendium. It's called, well, we're calling it this year the Blue Book because the cover is blue. Last year it was the Purple Book. The 2013 version is blue. You can go to, I created a bit.ly address, bit.ly/AST comp 2013, and download this bad boy. It's really good. It's got a lot of data, up-to-date data on vehicles, on spaceports, on the state of the industry. It's got the launch forecast that we issued last year. All the little reports that we used to put out individually, we've put them all together, stuck a bright blue cover on it, and this is this year's edition. If you've got last year's purple book, this is number two in the series. Also, I would mention that you could go to our website, the COECST website, and the URL is coe-cst.org, and it's not the greatest website in the world, but it's got links to all the presentations from our technical meeting. It's got links to, or it's got a list of publications from the COE member universities and the students for the last 2-3 years for each of the tasks. It'll have a link, not, it doesn't yet, but it'll have a link to this compendium. It'll have a link to the executive summary. So a lot of stuff will be there. Also, information about the affiliate members are given there as well. And then I would say also, if you want more information just in general, you want to be up to date on what's going on, I always recommend Clark Lindsay's New Space Watch blog, which not these days requires a subscription. But you can always then go to Parabolic Arc by Doug Messier. Both these guys provide good blow-by-blow, day-by-day, event-by-event accountings of what's going on in the emerging commercial space world. And I always put in a plug for my own commercial space wiki there. Just Google those words. And if anybody doesn't have my business card already, there you have it. And I hope this presentation will be available to the public on our website. And with that, I say thank you very much. And I'm happy to take any questions. Questions going once? Chuck Lauer. The The question is, do we need more volunteers for the centrifuge testing? And I'm hoping yes. The answer to that is yes. Number two, I was really amazed how they were not overwhelmed necessarily with volunteers. They, a local affiliate in Philadelphia came out and shot a piece on them, showed it at 11 p.m. one night, and like almost immediately they started getting phone calls. And then they re-aired it like at 5 a.m. the next morning, and they got another flurry of phone calls. To me, it would have been a great opportunity. I think they give you a day of training, and then they put you, I think, in three or four spins. The first spin is a half G profile of Virgin Galactic's flight. Then they do a full G profile of Virgin Galactic's flight. Then they do another characteristic profile from another vendor. Like I said, they had 67 folks there. If you wanted to pay for this and do it yourself, it would cost about $3,000 to get that training. Having gone and visited them while the training was going on, I am convinced, and because you see the people strapped in there on camera and stuff, and they're doing all these grunting and all these exercises to make sure that the blood doesn't rush out of their head and stuff. After you see that, you're going, I'm thinking, I would not want to get in a capsule or in a cabin unless everybody else in that cabin has had that training. So that's just my two cents. But anyways, it was very, very fun to see. Okay, more questions? Yes, sir. HR. The question is, do we have some transition level for getting our research out, I suppose, after maturity level? That's a really good question. We don't have a formal one. We absolutely don't have a formal one. We're kind of relying on the linkage between industry and research that pre-exists in the Center of Excellence for there to be, typically it's a technology push and a demand pull. We typically want that demand pull to come from industry, and so that's theoretically the reason why industry is associated with it. So, but it's not formal, but that would be a good improvement. We're a small program. You're looking at the program. questions going once? Going twice? Thank you very much, everybody. I really enjoyed talking to you today.